A story from Tell. Download the app from the App Store or Google Play.
The Snow Queen. Our story begins many moons ago with a goblin called Runculus Clusterboot III. Who? I hear you ask? I'll tell you. He was a rather unpleasant chap, an all-round rotten egg who only wanted to see the bad in things and in people. Runculus didn't care for kindness, sharing, or saying please and thank you. In fact, he thought the world and everything in it was far too lovely. Now, being a goblin skilled in magic, he summoned up his best worst spells to create a magical mirror that reflected everything badly. In that mirror, a beautiful clear blue sky would show only storm clouds and thunder. A kind face would reflect back anger. Runculus wanted everyone else to feel as bad as he did, and so he travelled the land showing this mirror to everyone he met. Well, I'm afraid to say it worked a treat. If anyone saw themselves in that mirror, they would feel awful for days. One fateful day, Runculus was flying high in his hot air balloon when he clumsily dropped his precious mirror.
"Drat and double blast!" he muttered as his most prized possession fell to earth and shattered into a million, billion, trillion tiny pieces.
Well, you might think this was a good thing. I did too when I first heard this story, but I'm afraid not, because when that mirror broke, the pieces shattered everywhere. Fragments fell into the sand, which was then made into glass for spectacles, and then when people wore these spectacles and read a happy story, the words on the page became twisted. And when people wearing these glasses looked at their friends and family, they saw very different people indeed. It goes without saying that Runculus was extremely pleased with himself. He was delighted to have caused such mischief.
He said, slurping a bowl of rat-tail soup. "Who knows where some of those tiny pieces will end up?"
Well, you are about to find out. Chapter 2. Friends. In a far-off land full of hot summers and snow-filled winters, there lived a girl called Gerda and a boy called Kay. They were around the age that you are now, maybe a tad older, maybe a toddle younger, but the important thing to say is that they were very close. They both lived at the very top of their houses in attic rooms with windows that were a tap and a whisper apart. Every morning before breakfast, they would smile and wave at each other through their bedroom windows, and then after a fun day together at school, they would sit chatting on their window seats until it was time to climb into their beds. One wintry night, during a heavy snowstorm, Kay lay awake in bed, watching the weather through his window. Then he suddenly saw something that made him sit up in bed. There, outside his window, appeared the ghostly shape of a lady. She seemed to be made of snow, her beautiful white hair blowing wildly in the wind. Her dress flowed as if it were alive. Kay jumped out of bed, rushed to the window, but the figure disappeared. He stared out into the night, hoping to see her again, but there was nothing but the thick snow falling onto the gardens and houses. He climbed back into bed, but he couldn't get to sleep. What or who had he just seen? Chapter 3. Gable's Mount. The next day was Saturday, so Kay and Gerda finished their breakfast quickly, wrapped themselves up in their warmest clothes, and set out with their sleds to join all the other children at the town's steepest hill, Gable's Mount. What a beautiful morning it was. The two friends trudged happily through the fresh snow as the bright sun blazed in the clear blue sky. But I'm afraid what happened next changed everything. Now, do you remember that wicked old goblin I told you about? The one with the mirror? As Gerda and Kay arrived at the top of Gable's Mount with all the other children, the wind blew a little snow into Kay's eyes. Now, a little snow never hurt anyone, but there was a minuscule piece of that wicked goblin's mirror in that snow. Kay blinked and rubbed his eyes. He suddenly felt very odd indeed. He looked at Gerda,
said some mean words I couldn't possibly repeat, and angrily pushed her over into the snow. Gerda lay on her back, very confused. Was this some kind of joke? It was very unlike her best friend to be so mean. Kay, why did you do that? Without another word, Kay grabbed his sled and ran. Gerda was confused. She stayed there on the mount for a short while, but it wasn't the same without her best friend. So she decided to head home. Chapter 4. Lost. The next morning, Gerda awoke with a funny feeling in her tummy. She couldn't help thinking about what Kay had done the day before and decided she would talk to him to try and find out what had happened. There was a commotion downstairs, so Gerda wrapped herself in a warm blanket and tiptoed down the stairs to the kitchen. There she saw her grandmother and Kay's parents. When they saw Gerda, they stopped talking. "What's wrong?" asked Gerda, pulling the warm blanket up around her neck. Grandmother walked over and held Gerda's shoulders. "My darling, Kay didn't come home last night." "Why? Where is he?" asked Gerda. Kay's father replied, "We don't know, Gerd. Will you help us?" The whole town searched all day, but Kay was nowhere to be seen. That evening, Gerda was walking home alone, thinking about how Kay had pushed her over. It was so unlike him. She passed the riverbank and spied a small red rowboat. It was different to all the other boats she had ever seen along this stretch, and she decided to climb in. As she sat there on the wooden plank in the middle of the boat, Gerda started to think. Then she said, "Dearest river, do you know where my friend Kay could be?" Just then Gerda realized the little red rowboat had not been tied to the moorings, and she was now drifting in the middle of the river. She searched for the oars, but there were none, so tried shouting, but no one was there to hear her. All she could do was to drift downstream at the mercy of the river. Very quickly, the river grew wider and faster, and she had to hold tightly to the sides of the boat to stop herself from falling out in the strong current. It was a long time later when the boat came to a stop against the bank at a large bend in the river. Gerda clambered out onto the riverbank and looked around to try and work out where she was and how to get back home. She was tired, hungry, and very cold. She climbed the steep riverbank and spied a pretty cottage with a beautiful garden. She walked towards it and noticed small puffs of smoke billowing from the chimney. As she neared the small green front door, Gerda felt her legs wobble and her head start to spin. Then everything went dark. Chapter 5. Hyacinth. The sound of bluebirds came first. Gerda had dreamt she was floating on a cloud. Her eyes opened, and for a moment she thought the dream was real.
"Hello, sleepyhead," said a voice nearby.
Gerda turned her head to see the kind face of an old lady.
"You've had quite an adventure."
Gerda yawned and stretched.
"Where am I?" she asked nervously. "Safe and sound. You slept through the night." "Oh dear, but where are my manners? I am Hyacinth."
Gerda nodded.
"Well, you nearly made it all the way to the door,"
Hyacinth continued, smiling kindly.
"But it seems your legs had other ideas."
"I'm Gerda, ma'am. I'm looking for my friend. I came here by accident." Hyacinth gave Gerda a wink.
"There are no accidents, my dear, only things that happen and things that don't. Now, tell me about your friend."
"Thank you," said Gerda, but I must be getting home."
"So is your friend lost, or is he at home?" asked Hyacinth.
Gerda thought for a moment.
"Actually, I don't know where he is, but I must find him." "Of course you must. Well, you found me," said Hyacinth. "Chances are you could find someone else just as easily."
"I suppose so," Gerda replied.
"Tell me this," asked Hyacinth. "How did you get here?"
"Oh, the river brought me," said Gerda. Then she smiled to herself.
Could it be that the river had answered her question? Gerda and Hyacinth sat together at the kitchen table, eating homemade soup and freshly baked bread. They talked about Hyacinth's beautiful garden, and Gerda told the story of her friendship with Kay, and about how the whole town had been so upset when Kay had gone missing. As they talked, Hyacinth got up from the table and began packing a bag with food and water. "Are you going somewhere?" asked Gerda. "No, my dear, but you are," replied Hyacinth, handing the bag to Gerda with a smile. They hugged on the front doorstep before Gerda walked down the path. She turned back to wave at the kind old woman, but the front door was already closed. Gerda was on her own once more, but this time she had food in her belly, and a little more hope in her heart that somehow she and Kay would see each other soon. Chapter 6. The Robber Girl. Gerda had only walked a few miles when she decided to stop and sip some water from a bottle in her knapsack. She heard noises behind her and turned around and saw the snow-covered branches of a deep forest glade. She took a sip and placed the bottle back into her bag when suddenly she was in the air and falling fast. The sudden landing on the cold, hard ground took her breath away, and she lay stunned, staring up at the grey sky. What was happening? Above her loomed the mean, muddy face of a skinny man.
"All right, Miss La-di-da," growled the man. "Give us all you got."
Gerda could see a group of robbers fighting over her knapsack. They had taken out the food and were stuffing it into their mouths like ravenous animals. Just then, the man clutched at his own throat and started to make a strange gurgling noise. He spun round on the spot to reveal a small child with long red hair hanging from his neck, kicking and screaming furiously.
"You let her go!" screamed the girl, thrashing around like a landed fish.
Gerda sat up on her elbows and watched as the man tried to rid himself of the girl hanging off his neck. All that thrashing around made him lose balance, and he staggered and fell onto one knee. The girl let go, jumped to the ground, and then let loose an almighty punch, which landed splat on the end of the man's nose, squashing it flat.
"You broke my nose, you little...
That'll learn you,"
shouted the girl and ran towards Gerda, who was frozen in terror.
"What are you waiting for? A written invitation?"
The girl pulled Gerda to her feet and dragged her into the forest. They scrambled through the undergrowth together and emerged at a clearing on the other side.
"What you got?"
demanded the girl, rummaging through Gerda's pockets.
"Nothing,"
said the girl.
"Don't I deserve a prize for saving you?"
The girl gave up her search and smiled broadly. Gerda couldn't help smiling back. She noticed a spray of ginger freckles on the girl's cheeks and nose as she stuck out her hand.
"Name's Hazy. Shake?"
"I'm Gerda," said Gerda, as they shook hands. Hazy led Gerda across a clearing to a line of brightly painted wooden caravans. A small herd of reindeer huddled together for warmth under the nearby trees. Hazy took Gerda to the wooden steps of the largest caravan and told her to wait. She disappeared inside and came out a few minutes later with two full plates piled with hot sausage, fresh bread and pickles. They sat there on the steps and ate until they were full. Gerda found out between mouthfuls that Hazy and her family were gypsies and didn't own a house. They roamed the land in their painted caravans. It sounded like a lovely idea. Gerda told Hazy of her plan to bring back Kay. Once she finished her story, Hazy threw her empty plate onto the ground and, without a word, dragged Gerda by the hand towards the reindeers huddled under the trees.
"Where are we going?" asked Gerda.
"I ain't going nowhere," said Hazy, pulling out a large knife. Gerda froze on the spot. "But you've got a friend to find."
Hazy slashed the leather reins of the tallest reindeer, releasing it from where it was tethered to the tree. She then led the reindeer into the forest, beckoning for Gerda to follow them. They emerged at the road where Gerda had first been jumped by the robbers. Hazy whispered something into the reindeer's tufted ear, and the huge animal looked over at Gerda and seemed to nod his head.
"He'll take you," said Hazy, smiling. "He's up from there in the Everglands.
word of advice. Hold on tight.
You think Kay will be there?
Afraid so, said Hazy. Chances are Snow Queen's got him.
The Snow Queen?
Yep, said Hazy. Kids go missing. A few come back and they talk about the palace beyond the third peak. That's where you'll find your Kay. Beeforth will take you. That's his name.
Hazy rubbed the large reindeer's long nose and then hugged Gerda tightly, almost lifting her off her feet.
Good luck finding your friend, she said with a smile.
And before Gerda could say another word, her little red-haired hero had scampered back into the trees and was gone. An hour or so later, the light began to dim. Beeforth had raced across the frozen plains, and they now had to slow to a gentle trot on the thin, winding path through the mountains. They arrived at a snow-covered ridge, which looked out over a deep valley. There in the distance, nestled between peaks, was a glorious palace that appeared to be made of pure ice, the tall towers reflecting the sunlight like huge mirrors. Gerda patted Beeforth on the cheek. Wait here, boy. We're going to need you to take us home. She made her way down the steep rock face and followed a small path on the far side of the mountain. There she found a small building with an open window and climbed in. She then tiptoed down a dark tunnel, which gradually opened up into a wide corridor. It was colder inside the palace than it had been in the bitter wind of the mountains, and as the tunnel grew wider and lighter, Gerda could see why. Everything was made of ice and snow. Straight ahead was a huge door. It was slightly open, so she peered inside to see an enormous hall with sky-high ceilings made entirely of ice. Snowdrifts covered the floor and walls. It was as if the palace had been formed by the north wind itself. What she saw next made her heart almost burst, for there, standing in the center of the room, was Kay. She had found him at last. Gerda couldn't hold back her excitement and ran towards him, calling his name. She hugged him tightly and stroked his dark hair. Everyone has missed you so much, Kay. Gerda stopped. Kay was staring straight ahead. His eyes were frozen in place.
Kay, you're so cold.
His skin was ice cold. Gerda realized that something was terribly wrong. Kay was a statue, as hard as stone and as cold as ice. Gerda's eyes filled with tears. Her bottom lip trembled as she held her friend's face and stared into his lifeless eyes.
Kay, look at me. No. This isn't you.
She started crying and holding her friend as tightly as she could, her tears falling onto Kay's frozen cheek. She fell to her knees and sobbed. There was a noise behind her.
What have we here?
Said a voice as sharp as a needle. Gerda turned to see the bird-like creatures of a woman. Her eyes were piercing blue and her hair as white as snow. Her blue dress seemed to be alive, a swirl of tiny snowflakes. It was the Snow Queen, just as Hazy had said. The Snow Queen tutted noisily.
Oh dear, another lost soul.
Gerda was terrified, and yet she found herself getting up to her feet. To her surprise, a voice came from within her, one she barely recognized as her own. No, Gerda said firmly. The Snow Queen seemed amused by Gerda's reaction. A small smile appeared at one side of her mouth.
It's a shame, she sneered,
her bottom lip jutting out as she tilted her head to one side.
Pathetic children.
The Snow Queen lifted her bony hands, pointed them at Gerda. There was a flash of white light as a stream of ice particles leapt from her fingertips, knocking Gerda backwards. Gerda felt a coldness she had never felt before. She shivered and turned to look at Kay, still frozen.
Yes, that's right, said the Snow Queen. I froze your sad little friend's heart, and it was so easy to do.
Gerda couldn't believe what she was hearing.
You froze his heart, but why? How? Easy, said the Snow Queen. You see, in his eyes lies a shard of magical glass. Nothing but the purity of snow and ice can be perfect enough to be of wonder. All else in your pathetic human world is poison to his sight.
Gerda remembered the moment that Kay had pushed her on Gable's mount. It all made sense now. The Snow Queen continued. A child whose heart has no care for the beauty of friendship is so easy to steal. Gerda stumbled forwards, the grief in her heart weighing her down. All hope was gone. The Snow Queen started to laugh, a shrill, piercing cackle that echoed around the cavernous hall. But just then, Gerda noticed a small pink spot on Kay's cheek where her tear had fallen. In a flash, she knew exactly what she had to do and immediately ran towards her friend, holding him tightly in her arms.
Pathetic!
Screeched the Snow Queen, making the very walls shake. But Gerda wasn't listening. She whispered into Kay's ear. Kay, I know you're in there. Please know that whatever happens, I was glad that you are my friend. Then the tears began to flow. She couldn't stop them and she didn't want to. Her warm tears landed on his frozen skin. It only took a moment. Gerda felt Kay's arms begin to soften, and a single tear formed in the corner of his eye. In that moment, everything changed, because in that tear was the fragment of the evil goblin's mirror. The salty water carried it from his eye, down his cheek, and onto the stone-cold floor. That was all it took for Kay's heart to be free of the Snow Queen's spell. His heart began to melt, and the colour flooded back into his cheeks. Gerd, he spoke softly. The Snow Queen had been watching.
Interesting, she remarked. But no matter. Time to die.
She lifted her arms once again and pointed her fingers at the two friends holding on tightly to one another. Then the evil queen let out a poisonous stream of ice from her fingertips. But nothing happened. The Snow Queen looked at her fingers and then back at the children. She lifted her hands and tried again. Nothing.
I don't understand, she shrieked.
Creaks and groans started to echo from the ceiling above. It was as if the palace itself were crying out. Large icicles started to fall from the roof, and frost tumbled down the walls, covering the hall in fine powdered snow. The Snow Queen stood in the centre of the hall, her bony hands holding her head.
No! You will stay for eternity! She cried,
but her magic was useless, and the palace she had created was collapsing around her. Gerda grabbed Kay's hand and started to run. She pulled him through the hall, jumping over huge slabs of ice and wading through the icy water that was quickly filling the room. She saw an opening in the front wall and ran towards it. Kay followed behind. They jumped through just as a large ice boulder crashed down to close the gap behind them. Jump! Shouted Gerda over the thundering noise of the palace tumbling around them. The two friends jumped as high as they could over the ridge and tumbled forwards, rolling down and down the steep mountain pass with a torrent of ice water, stones and boulders. Finally, they stopped rolling at the very bottom of the valley, out of breath and covered in cuts and bruises, but they were alive and together at last. The walk up to the ridge where Beforth was patiently waiting for them was steep and slippery, but they helped each other and finally made it to the top. They stopped and turned to look back at the mountainside where the palace had stood. All that remained was a pile of rocks, ice, and snow. There was so much to say, but neither Gerda or Kay spoke a word. They climbed onto Beforth's back in silence, and the faithful reindeer slowly plodded back down the mountain path. Gerda noticed that she could not stop smiling. She wanted so much for things to go back the way they used to be, and yet she knew that nothing would ever be the same again. The warmth of her friendship had melted Kay's frozen heart, and this power alone had destroyed the Snow Queen's powerful magic. If there was ever a happy ending, this was it. As for Runculus Clusterboot III, you may be wondering what became of that nasty goblin. Well, he happened to be in his bedroom taking a long nap at the exact moment that the Snow Queen's palace
collapsed into a pile of rubble. But where was his bedroom? In the tallest tower of the Snow Queen's palace. That's where. And what of Gerda and Kay? You will be pleased to know that they lived a long, happy life together, full of hope, joy, and lots of snow.